Okay, well, we'd like to welcome you folks that have made it to our budget hearing. This budget hearing is to discuss with our board what we're doing with the budget, what our recommendations are to the board on how to handle the budget. Is that correct? So tonight, what we're going to do is we have the budget hearing. We'll go from 6 to 6:30. We'll discuss what we're going to do so all of you are aware. And then from 6:30 to 7, it will be a public hearing. So the public will come in. If there's any public, we'll discuss it with them. They can ask their questions and we can try to address it. So it's really to inform you of where we're going, what we recommend, and if there's any problems with what you're thinking or, you know, problems you see with the budget, you can let us know and we can work it out. So I think all we do for a budget hearing is just go ahead and start.
Go through. Okay. I have it as zoomed as I can, but if you need a physical copy, I do have some.
Okay, so what everybody's aware of is we, a while back, decided that after looking at some charts and studying what we actually, what our proposed budgets were, I had a chart put together that we've used over the years. We had a line that goes up this way, and it eventually came to the point where we're now seeing that line going above what we're projecting our budget to be. And what that line represents is you have the budget that we propose, and then the other line is the actual budget we receive. There's two different things we get here. We propose a budget every year. That's what we vote on, that's what we plan on. But you can't just look at that. You have to look at what you actually receive through the taxes. And what we started to find is the taxes, what we're actually receiving is less than what we're proposing. That's when we realized we got to do a budget, a tax increase. So if you want to bring that first, there it is right there. So we're starting to get now to where we're going above, and that's not good. As most of you know, in our last meeting, we talked about our savings is our actual operating budget. So it's not separate in this account. They're all one. Everything we operate on comes out of that savings. So that's the purpose of, as you can see here, and I haven't updated this, but with what we're actually getting, we're going to exceed what our budget is. So as we looked at it and averaged it out and studied what the costs have been, especially with chemicals and stuff like that, we realized that we had to do something. So I recommended a figure a while back of $100,000. That's where we pretty well stuck. So if we go to our information, you know, for the board, our accomplishments.
Well, are we doing, this is the budget hearing, not the tax.
I know.
Oh, okay.
We're letting the board know what we're
gotcha.
Talking about.
Okay.
So what I did is I had these guys put Richard and Sierra put together some accomplishments and challenges. This is what we're going to project or present to any public that might come. So I realize you might be hearing this twice, but it gives you a good understanding where we're coming from. since I can't look in my back of my head, I'll get it out in front of me. So when I do a budget meeting, I like to tell the popular or anybody that comes to our meetings, what have we accomplished? What have we done with the money you've given us over the years? And if you look at what we've accomplished with CMAT, we built a new building. We've implemented the use of drone technology, which has resulted in some labor decreases. We've also maintained competitive labor rates by absorbing a nearly 33% increase over 17 years. So we've been matching the budget pretty good for our labor rates and stuff like that to maintain employees and keep what we need for going forward and meeting the objectives of what this cash mosquito abatement district is here for. Richard has been rotating the chemicals to combat resistance and pricing. They've maintained their vehicles and equipment to increase longevity and resale value, and they've increased coverage to accommodate a population growth of 140%. So if you think about it, what we've done with our budget over the last 17 years has been quite extraordinary. And we haven't asked for anything, we haven't increased anything. We've never held the taxes either, and that's something I I'd like to discuss late next year is we need to look at maybe holding our tax rate and not just accepting what comes. And I'll explain that a little bit next year to everybody what that means. But everybody knows what we're looking at going forward. Since COVID, there's been a 25% increase in material costs, 25 to 50% in some spheres of expertise, 20 to 50% increase in these costs. Labor costs are going up. In order to get people to stay, we've had to really start looking at our labor. We've also got the volatility of fuel prices, 45% increase in the last 5 years. And that's going to continue to go. We know that. Everybody knows what we're seeing. And you know that in your own individual lives, in your businesses, in your employment. You're seeing all this. Vehicle and utility prices, they're skyrocketing. They're up 30% for the last 6 years. Chemical use in other communities impacting resistance to the chemicals. We're struggling with that. Equipment replacement. We have to start planning for that. We have not been doing that very well, as in my opinion, as a board. We haven't been planning for the future. We've been reactive. And I think with the growth and everything else we're seeing, we need to start looking to the future and saying, okay, how many handhelds do we need to do, or do we need to put them on a replacement schedule? And some other things we'll talk about here that we need to look at and say, this is what needs to happen going forward to make sure we don't have to do a budget increase every year. We don't want to do that. As a district, I don't believe any of us wanted to be doing that. Growth will be the biggest issue leading to likelihood of spraying 5 nights a week. We're not doing that right now. How much are we doing now?
Four nights a week.
And we're covering everybody. But we're getting big enough now to where some of the communities are going to have to be more than once a week, where they've only been once a week for the whole all time we've been doing it. So some of the communities have grown enough, and the population mosquitoes, populations are changing. Their resistance to the chemicals and stuff are making it extremely more difficult to control it. We're probably going to want to look at, I don't know if the rest of you noticed, but last year we had an actual decrease in mosquitoes. And I kind of was surprised we didn't capture that as an accomplishment. The fact that decrease is because of the drone. We were able to reach places we couldn't reach before. And with that drone, we were able to reach those places. Therefore, we've seen a decrease in the mosquitoes. A significant decrease. What was it?
Probably, I haven't done, but I'd say 10 to 15%.
You know, and that's was good. I mean, we need to see that. So, realizing that, we also recognize that there's other equipment that can be used out there in some of these areas, which might be looking for an airplane that can come in and spray some of these areas quicker and more wide areas. But we need to have money in place to have that happen. We have IT requirements that are changing every year. FOIN.gov, I mean, every year the state mandates the municipalities and the districts that you have to meet certain criteria. One of them is .gov. I know for my community, it's a major hit to us. And fortunately, they were out of a double my AT from $6,000 to $12,000 a year. And I was so thankful that Utah offered me $300 a year assistance. And that's what they gave us. Said it wouldn't be that big of a hit, but it is. I don't believe the district got anything, did they?
No. Our permits are going up too. The federal permits went from...
It doesn't surprise me, federal permits.
Yeah.
So looking ahead, you know, that's some of the things we've got going on. So any questions with what I've covered so far? Good. I think as a district, I think the board, Richard, his team, I think they've done extremely well in maintaining and taking care of things, and the growth we've had already over the last 17 years, it's pretty astronomical that we've been able to maintain the budget we did. Even realizing that, you know, as we studied our budget, everybody was thinking that savings was separate, we could pay off our building and everything else, our operating budget over here, it's not, it's the same. So, but even at that, we are still positioning ourselves to pay down that building faster than we thought, which is what our goal was when we built that building. So we weren't planning on a pandemic or anything else, which really kind of nipped everybody in the butt with what went on and the costs and stuff like that. And these are non-recoverable costs. They're not going to go down. So going for the budget, what I recommended is that we do a $100,000 budget that we will absorb into our 2025 budget. We'll go from $508,000 in 2024 to $592,000 in 2025, and that is an increase that includes the $100,000. Now, where we will put that money is pretty much in the capital projects, because we need to understand where we actually end up with chemicals. But as you populate your capital projects, that gives you the ability to move money within those areas without having to hold public hearings and everything else, because it's within that category. So you can actually move that money within that category. Now, once you start moving across categories, then you have to have a public hearing. So by doing this, I believe it will help us manage the budget and get the funds where we need it. Because our budget is laid out to, is in probably 80% reactive to the circumstances which we're facing, and only 20% proactive. We're trying to get it more in the proactive side, but in what we do, it's kind of more reactive than what we do any day anyway, because you don't know what the mosquitoes are going to do. We probably get a couple of them to serve on the board and they could tell us. But I doubt that would happen. So with Richard's help, for the administration, we're going to put $7,000 of that increase within the administration area. And like I've got on the notes here, that will help with replacing phones and covering insurance costs, which continually increases every year. And it's also going to help with office equipment and labor rates. To keep up with things, office equipment, printers, computers, and everything like that, we're going to need to change those out on a more frequent basis than we had. This computer here was the first one we had since this implementation of CMET. We changed that out 2 years ago. That's the first computers we changed out. So that was quite a way of being able to move to operate. So we'll put $7,000 in the administrative capital projects for facilities where we can move things around as we find where things would be needed. On the abatement side, capital projects, $80,000. And as you can see, we're doing that because larvicide, adulticide, surveillance, look at the difference in 1 year. In last year, we had to budget $120,000 because of the price of adulticide. Well, this year, we're able to drop that back down to $75,000 because the price has come down a little bit. But the price of larvicide and some of these others we know are going up. Is that correct?
Yeah, the larvicide, initially, before we talked about the tax increase, it's going to be about $110,000.
Yeah, $110,000.
That's where we weren't sure. Originally, we had $110,000 in the larvicide, but then you told us to put $80,000 in the capital. So did you want double?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
So that's
why are chemicals in capital projects? Because I thought capital projects were capital material things that
not necessarily
use, it's like vehicles, buildings.
No. It's a name of an account, so to speak. And we're just calling it capital right now. It's just a capital in administrative, where we can use it. I understand what you're saying.
It just seems a weird name for it.
We can name it whatever we want.
Well, I just, because when you talk capital projects, that is
true
stuff that you should depreciate. You don't depreciate chemicals.
No, but it's facilities and stuff like that. That's true.
Right.
Put it there. But the administration is what we're looking at there.
Well, I can see administration.
Yeah.
More than capital projects, because that should.
But we just don't have a catch-all right there for there, so we can move it wherever the board would like it. I'm good with that.
Yeah, it seems weird to have something that's expendable, that is, we have to use it on a capital project, or it is capital project.
But they initially had this down as for phones and stuff like that. And I said, no, I can't do that. Because you got to look at it this way as well. Your phones, you're not going to need those every year. The tax increases there every year. You're in perpetuity. It's there every year. So you can't say I'm putting it all on phones because you're not going to replace them every year on phones.
You need to depreciate them out.
You can depreciate them out, true. But where are you going to budget? What I'm saying is...
Well, that's what I say. I mean, you're going to capital. If I was to build a building, say we built our building, I would think that that $1 million that we spent would be the capital, given the capital.
Yeah.
So I think what you're over, is over the name of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. It just seems
we can
like
change
a
the
weird
name.
Thing. I think that's what we need to do.
Do we just take capital project there and put chemicals, or because, but that limits us as well. In that category.
We can call it a general project too.
Yeah, and I think operating.
Yeah.
Operating. That's operations.
So just put operations there.
Yeah, put operations because that's what it is. It's not a capital project.
And go ahead and change that to operations.
That's
good. Anybody else?
It just makes a lot more sense.
So
good. That's
just
good.
Chemicals too? Okay.
Just put operations, yeah.
Because when I see operations, I would say that's chemicals. That's oil and lube on your vehicles, maintenance, things like that.
Okay.
It's all part of operations.
Good. We can change that today. Any problem? Any other suggestions?
So you're saying, just so I understand this, you're saying the money that you're putting in that operations line item, you can move into any one of those line items under chemicals and supplies or anywhere in that bracket.
Yes.
If
we
have
can't
to cross
bracket.
That bracket, then we've got to have a public hearing.
Yes.
So anyway, that 80,000 right there can go anywhere from here down to the UPDS permit.
And that's why we're doing what we're doing, basically.
Yeah, your permits, anything would be operations.
Just help the public understand what we're going to do with the money.
Right. Yeah, well, I just think it's confusing when we just say capital project.
I like that.
Okay, we'll put it operations. And that also, now, I'm saying 7,000 there, but that's more than likely going to have to be used. We will have to have a public hearing because some of that will probably go up, and some of the others might go up into our administrative, where we start to pay labor and stuff like that to increase our labor. But that'll come down the road as we continue to work this. Okay, so same with your abatement. We can change that to chemicals. That's fine too. Chemical projects, whatever. We can call it that as well.
Well, chemicals is an abatement.
Yeah.
I mean, that would fall under it. So,
but the purpose of putting in that one lump sum is we don't know which chemicals can outright yield.
Right.
So we want to be able to move it where it needs to go.
Yeah, so originally when I first started, this was $110,000. And I'm going to need that because my larvicide is completely gone. I cannot supply next year's larvicide with 30,000, but because we're asking for that tax increase, we're going to put it in here, but more than likely that 80,000 is going to go up in here. But we just wanted a line item with operations just to have it there to be able to play with.
So have flexibility.
Yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because we don't know. So rather than tie ourselves to one chemical, we're just saying, here, we're going to be. And whenever we do a line item change, the board can authorize that and have it go the way it goes without a public hearing. Like I said, but if you go from one to another, it requires a public hearing. So we're just trying to capture it. And again, this is just for the public discussion to help them understand where every dollar of that increase is going. That's all this is for. And to help board members also if they don't understand. So administration, we'll just change that to operations. Go ahead and type that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Now put the right value in there as well. In your cap for chemicals.
For the which one?
Things that should be.
Well, your 80,000, 30,000. Do we know that that's going to be 110 for sure?
Yeah.
So do you want double? So the 110,000 plus the 80?
No, you can't exceed.
Yeah.
That's
the bottom line should be 690,000.
Well, if you know it's going to be $80,000 in put it in that line, right?
Yeah.
And we don't need to do anything, it's there.
Yep. Okay. Would you do that?
So have 80,000 right
yeah.
there?
In the water side, yeah. Is that what you're saying, Paul?
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you know you're going to spend it there, put it there, right? So we don't have to...
even worry about the operation.
Yeah, we don't need to approve a line item change.
Okay.
That's what we're here for.
Okay, just copy that 80,000 up there, and you should change that to 110, like it should be, so that...
And then that operation will be at zero.
Okay.
And then zero here?
Yeah.
Like that?
Okay. Vehicle equipment, same philosophy there. We just don't know where we're going to do it. We got drones, handhelds, and things like that. That's what it's going to be used for. So I believe that fits the capital definition.
Yeah, there. that would be capital drone.
So given that, that's where we're going with this. Any questions?
Dave? I just have a question. I think, first of all, you did an amazing job. You got a mind that just thinks this stuff. But I have a question. So when you were laying this out and you put $100,000, how long do you think that will last before we need another tax increase? Does that make sense? Did you have it, like, did you think this will be good for 5 years, 6 years, or is it?
If we continue the way we're managing right now, I don't foresee another tax increase for five. We have to let it go this long is wrong. To automatically plan on tax increases is not right. I don't believe in that myself. I don't think anybody else here does. Where we failed is there's a way to hold your tax rate and capture what the economy's doing as well. We haven't done that either. So when we see that the economy's doing all kinds of things, we should have been holding our tax rate. Of course, the county doesn't let you know about stuff like that. You have to go dig it out and find it. And that took me, I've been second term mayor, took me 7 years to find it, but I found it. So from here on out, I'm going to recommend to my predecessor that they hold a tax rate before they do a tax increase.
Would you mind explaining that, what that means?
When you hold a tax rate, what it basically does is you're holding your tax rate, but it captures all the growth in the economy. So
one thing is, so you're saying
construction.
When truth and taxation comes out, and when they give the certified tax rate, it may be lower than last year.
Yes.
But if you hold your tax rate, it would be the same as last year.
Okay.
So it would increase your budget because
yeah.
of evaluations.
So this is the way I understand it. You, say that our tax rate is 0.25, or no, sorry. 0.0025. That's what we pass that tax rate there. The next year, because we've got more houses built and everything, they drop this. But because we got more houses, but we're still bringing in 100,000 instead. But it's dropping, and so they drop this down to 0.15. We still get the exact same amount.
They want you really don't know what your tax rate's going to be. They try and they do the certified tax rate so that you will basically get about the same amount you got last
about.
Year.
And so we want to keep it at and we want to keep it at that whatever this is, so that the cost of the building we're getting more money. It's not this is not going down because we're growing. This is staying the same, and the growth is bringing us in more money because
you get your growth
right there.
Along with it, and you do still do, but you only get it at the rate you got.
Well, not just growth. You get evaluation increases
yes.
on your homes.
So that's what you took into your consideration.
So
as you
what I would say is every 2 years we look at it and say, okay, how's the economy? Are we doing better? If we're doing better, we've got a lot of growth. Let's hold our tax rate, and then we don't have to do a tax increase. We're still getting the same percentage. We're just capturing everything that's been going on.
You don't need to go through a public hearing or anything like
you
that.
Still
actually,
do.
You do now.
You still do.
You still do. So you didn't used to have to, but now they forced us into it.
Yeah,
so
the state changed the definition.
But it's a lot easier to defend that by saying we're not raising the tax rate. We're just making sure we get what's due us.
See, because we waited so long, the papers and everything, oh, they're doing a 20% tax rate, which is, if I read it right, is like $3 for the year. But when you look at it in percentage-wise and the communities see that it's a 20%, that's a big number in percentage, but in reality, it's $3 a year. But that, if we hold that rate and say that we're not raising taxes, we don't have to do it in percentage. It just, they might still use it as a percentage, but it doesn't look as, like we're raising a 20 to 25%.
Okay, thank you.
It keeps your line more in line with what your budget is what it basically does.
Thank
so
you.
I would say every so many years we just take a look at that, but there's some that say you should raise your tax every 2 or 3 years. As a person, as a community, I don't follow that. I think you need to have a good reason to raise taxes. Personally, that's just the way I feel about it. But there's others that say, no, I'll do it every 2 years and you don't have to worry about it. So I think we've done the right thing as a board in making sure we manage what we've got and meet expectations accordingly. And I think we've done that. If you look at what our mission is to control mosquitoes. They're down because of the technology we're using now. They're down because of the skilled labor we have, and they know how to use the stuff and get into it. I think the public is very satisfied with what they're seeing. You start to hear them at the first of the year, fear from, hey, we've got mosquitoes. We start, the mosquitoes are gone, you hear nothing about it. Unless you get some that are complaining because they don't want the chemicals, but like we heard last month. Questions? Any other questions? So an answer, short answer, I think it's going to take the board considering, I think every 2 years you had better look at it and make a decision at that point.
Unless maybe the years that if inflation gets out of hand, we'd need to look at it.
Yeah.
Annually.
Well, I think every year we need to keep that graph up and find out. Because like I said, we submit a budget. This is a budget we're going to submit. The problem we've got into where you don't hold taxes and do that, a lot of times that's not the tax you get. It might be our budget. But when you look at what the taxes actually come in, it's lower than what we're budgeting. And that's what's concerned me as I've been on here now and I've watched it. I've said, well, wait a minute, what is our actual tax coming in? That's where I started to see the disconnect.
And over the years, we've done really well because we were able to build that nest egg a little bit. And that's what helped us to buy the land free and clear. Helped us with keeping the chemicals and being able to eat that. And when we first got the building, at the time, I think we had in our PTIF around 500,000-600,000, if I remember right. And now we're down to 3-something because we've been eating, that's where that line is where it's starting to eat into that little PTIF that we have, that we've had a little bit of safety net, but that safety net's starting to dwindle.
Is there a max on the amount of safety net money you can carry without getting in trouble?
I don't know if there is. I know that it's got to be in a...
I've never been forced not to do that.
Yeah.
So, I'm just curious.
Well, and I think
there is a max. You can...
Yeah.
It used to be, I'm not sure what the number is, but now I think it was around like...
But you have to have a reason for that safety net. So,
saving for something.
Yes.
Rainy day fund.
Yeah, yeah.
That's your capital projects. That's what the capital projects or these projects are for, is to save for rainy days. And I'm just putting the money here to explain to the people, public, if any come, that this is what we plan on doing with it. I can't tell you exactly which account we're going to put it in because we're not at the end of the year and we might have a hiccup that we need to address. And that's where it'll come from. But the $100,000 we're asking for will be spread throughout that. And $100,000 is not going to make us extremely well, but it's going to keep us where we need to be. And if we continue to manage and require require reporting that tells us where we're actually at, what we're actually spending, and you know where we can actually say, okay, because our goal was to take some of our PTIF, pay down that building quicker. And I think that is still everybody's objective.
Well, you know, I sit here and think, when we decided to do that building, it was $1 million. If we tried to do that today, it'd be $2 million. Or
it would have been.
And so we're pretty darn lucky. We'd be sitting in a whole different ball game if we hadn't have made those decisions. They weren't easy.
And we had a company that was building at Mundall who did not pass on significant cost increases. They built it for what they said they would.
Yeah, that was one very good prudent move that we made.
So that's a major accomplishment for the. We have our own building. It's being maintained. We have good equipment. It's being used. We've introduced new technologies that are helping reduce this mosquito population. Now we're starting to look towards the future of saying, okay, let's get on schedule for what we're going to spend in the future and make sure we plan accordingly. And then I think I don't think we'll see another tax increase for a few, maybe 5-6 years. So
if I can say something from one of the original members, and Dave and Jeff was with us, that and I don't know how they feel about it, but we had one tax increase.
2007.
Yeah, it was in 2007. But I appreciate the conservativeness of our group. It's always been fairly conservative, but there's a big problem because over that, I don't think it was a unanimous vote on whether we had it or not, but I think what's changed is what we've accomplished. Because when we were a brand new group, how can you go ask the community to pay more taxes when we weren't proven? You know what I mean? But I feel so much better now that we have those list of accomplishments that we've, as breaking away from Bear River, starting our own group, and then getting to this point where we have these making a decision on a building, which for a conservative group, that was a huge decision. Wow. And I appreciate that because I think we did things the right way. But I think it's much easier if you can show that you're using that money wisely and it's benefiting the community. You know, you could take advantage if you had a bad West Nile year. You can just say, hey, we got to do this because we got to. But we've never done that because Richard's group, I think, has always done a very good job to keep the numbers down. And so we can just show them that money that we're paying out of our pocket is going to, you know, really good use.
I've used this model in my own town. I've done a major tax increase this year. I had over 60 people in the building ready to fight. I did the same process here, and only 5 of them ended up really pushing for no tax. The rest of them walked away saying, okay, we understand.
Well, the bang for the buck that we get for a residence of $538,000, we're going to end up paying with the tax increase $14.76. I don't think there's very many people in the valley that probably you can count them on one hand that would be disappointed in something like that.
So Lake Mosquito Abatement's raising that enough to get $2.5 million tax increase this year, so they can get a help.
You know, for you going and getting Happy Meal for 2 of your kids, we're getting our mosquitoes taken care of.
Unfortunately, we're on the tail end of some major increase this year across the county. You've got counties going up.
$7 in
part. You've got your all municipalities are going up. You've got, who else? What's the other one going up? Another one going up as well in the county. So I was expecting public, but we probably ought to. We're doing okay if there's any other questions, but we probably can close our budget hearing for the board, and we can go ahead and move in to a public hearing.
So do we need to open the public hearing? I move that we open public hearing for the budget.
Okay, I have a motion to open the public hearing.
I'll second it.
And I have a second, but we need names on that.
Paul.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so now in a public hearing.
We need to do roll call.
We'll do the roll call, break it over. So we're in a public hearing at this point.
Do we have anybody from the public here? Because we need to give them, you got papers so they can sign in.
Oh yeah, we do have to have.
I will make one.
Is that posted for a specific time?
Oh yeah, it starts at 6:30.
Oh, 6, oh, okay.
Actually, I got told 6, so if they're not here, I doubt we're getting anyone. Well, the tax increase is at 7. The budget hearing is at 6.
Wait, Craig, you're gonna make a record for length of meeting?
No, the tax increase is what we do as a board at 7:00.
Okay.
And that's his signature. The public hearing is where we take feedback from the public. We've now opened that. We've got to give it a few minutes for any public. We're already 10 minutes into it.
It's advertised public hearing at 7 p.m.
Is that when
for the tax increase hearing is at 7. The budget hearing was 6.
When's the public?
7.
That's the public
for the
hearing.
Tax increase.
Was it
7,
huh?
I should go move the clock.
Technically, it's already passed. It's at almost 8.
Yeah, move it to 7.
So I move that we close the public hearing for the budget. Paul James.
I'll second it, Wade Campbell.
So now we have 20 minutes to just.
We just need to have everybody vote on it, and then we can close this meeting.
I'm curious while we got a minute. All the water out in the middle of the valley from backwater to cutler. You treat that too?
Yeah, let's finish this meeting then.
Oh, okay.
We need to vote on that to close it.
Oh, I have a motion. You got a second? You got names?
Yeah, both Paul and Wade. Okay. Again.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, it's unanimous. Okay, let's go ahead and start our regular scheduled